Thankful for the service we've had so far, for the testimonies of the Lord being so near. I could feel the weight in that song, I Lean on You, that it's a reality. There are times in life where that's all we can do is lean on God. So we don't have the answers to life, and it's too much to think about today. But it really seems like the whole service today has just been a cue for the message today, Sister Kim's testimony. And I want to think today about the simple choice and the confidence we have in the simple choice. So the title will be Confidence in the Choice. There are many choices today, aren't there? Everywhere we go, there's choices. And it seems like the more knowledge that we get in the world today, the more choices we have, but yet there's more confusion. We've never experienced a time in history in this world that we've had more knowledge readily at our fingertips. I was just talking to someone with someone the other day, and they were talking about how long it took to gain knowledge of a certain trade or a certain scientific principle or something like that. Before the press was invented, it took basically a lifetime to learn a trade or to learn some of these things that are at our fingertips today. Once the press was invented, then it brought it down to a word form to where we could read and understand, and it became much quicker to learn. Well, then when the internet came along, it was even much faster. And now with AI, you can speak things and it can speak a whole summary of a trade or a scientific principle in just a matter of minutes. We can learn and know what took years or generations to know before. But yet, with all the knowledge today, do we see people really prospering in their confidence level? We see more confusion, it seems, today. Even with the plethora of information and knowledge, there's so many voices that are in the world today, and it's actually, in some ways, it's hurting people because they're not able to just have confidence. All right, this is the way it should go. This is the way it should be. And there's so much information competing with the Bible and the Word of God that says this is truth. This is truth over here. And we have opinions. Popular opinion is so strong in the world today on where we should base our beliefs. And it's causing even greater confusion in our world. But the Bible says in Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So I want to talk about some foundations we need in our lives. The fear of the Lord, 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. There's choices today that are that drastic. They're either life or death. And to have the fear of God is strong confidence. Usually you don't associate fear with confidence, do you? But when we say there's in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, what we're saying is we fear God, we honor Him, we revere His laws, and we take them into our lives. We take His word, and we say, this is what I respect the most. I fear life and death. I fear what will happen to me after this life is over. But in that decision to say, okay, the fear of God is the number one priority in my life, that's a foundational thing. And then we can build our life on it, and it does build strong confidence because the Word of God has all the answers we need in it for life and for salvation and for our prosperity in this world. Not temporal prosperity, but to have confidence, to be able to live confidently in this life, to be able to make a true difference in the world. The Word of God has all the answers. We have many competing voices saying that the Word of God is fallible and that it's not all true and that there's better opinions today. But if we say that we base our choice and our confidence in people's opinion, how safe is that? People's opinions sway so much. It's really whoever has the loudest voice. It's amazing to see what's going on in the world today, because the majority of opinions have been over here, and now in 5 years they're over here, and then 10 years they're over here. How can we have confidence in something like that? We're all fallible people, but the Word of God is sure and steadfast, and we have to be able to say the fear of God is the foundation of my life. It is where I start. And when we have the foundation, the fear of God is our foundation, it gives us strong confidence because we're able to look the world in the face. We're able to say, God, I don't understand everything, but I'm standing on your principles. And your principles are that you will carry me through. You've given me your laws, but you've also given me your promises to keep me. And so I can stand on the Word of God today and have confidence in it. In Deuteronomy 30, God was giving the children of Israel some choices here. He was giving them promises, and he was giving them some curses too if they didn't follow his law, which is the same today, whether we like it or not. God's laws are as sure as the laws of nature. They are the laws of nature. And in Deuteronomy 30, let's pick up in the 9th verse. We'll read some promises here. If thou shalt, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So Sister Kim was testifying today, and she said, God's promises are conditional. We do have a choice to serve God, and he has all these promises, but they're conditional on us serving him with all of our soul and all of our heart. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Sometimes we want to complicate things so much in life. We have so many choices that it just gets complicated. And it seems, you go to a restaurant, and there's even a fast food restaurant I went to recently, and they hand out a book for a menu, and it's like, this is fast food, but it's not fast ordering. I've got all these choices. I think of In-N-Out. You go to In-N-Out, and it's like, all right, you want a single or you want a double? That's your choices. Well, in life, it feels like we sit down like at the Cheesecake Factory, and this menu is pages and pages and pages. And by the time you get done reading, you're more confused than you when you got there. You thought you wanted something, but you saw 10 other items that really looked better. And we went to Cheesecake Factory for my brother's birthday a while back. And, you know, what that produces sometimes is discontent. Because I thought what I got was really good. But what I don't even remember what I got. But I do remember what he got because I wanted what he wanted. And so I left discontent. And I still remember what he got. It was a fried cauliflower. It was a vegetarian plate, which I'm definitely not vegetarian. But I wouldn't have ordered that. But then when I saw it, it was incredible. It was so good. He shared some of it with me. But, you know, when we let our life be dictated by all these choices in the world, we will never be satisfied. Just like that menu. We will never truly feel like we have just found our place and are secure there. Sometimes we go to a restaurant. Some of the best-selling restaurants really don't have very many items, but what they serve is good. And it can be that way in our lives today, where there's so much unrest and discontent because we have so many choices. Also, I thought of liking it to children growing up. You know, we hear about the good old days where the children didn't know we were poor, and vacations consisted of just going to the closest muddy lake and spending our time there, and we loved it. We enjoyed it. We didn't have any discontent with it. We didn't know about the ski trips or the vacations on the cruise lines and things like that. We didn't need all that. And sometimes we weigh our minds down too much because we allow ourselves to try to have too many choices in life. And we look at the flowers and the pictures over there and say, I want it there. But then when we get there, there's something better over here that we want to go get, and we're never satisfied. And we can spend our life just searching for choices that somehow make us happy. And it's not in those things, is it? Sometimes we burden our children down with too many choices. I've been guilty of that. We've had a lot of changes in our lives recently coming out here, and I've had to catch myself. Sometimes I'm giving my children too many choices, and it's burdening them. They shouldn't have to bear that. But we see that in the world today. Society is making children choose things they shouldn't have to be choosing because their opinions are based on popular opinion, not on the Word of God. And it's confusing our children. It's causing them to wonder. And then also that confusion eventually brings discontent, and then it brings loneliness and isolation sometimes. So we have to be careful with how we're presenting our choices to our children. We also have to be careful with our own hearts. Are our hearts settled? Do we have confidence? In business, we have to decide which way we're going and go that way. We will never be successful in business if we went at every rabbit trail that was offered to us or every opportunity, or we went to the banker and said, well, we're looking at it this way, this way, this way, and we never make a decision. We will never get anywhere if we don't make that decision. And so I'm going back to simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of what God is offering us. He said that it is not hidden from you. It's not afar off. It's not far from us. We make life complicated because we want it our way. But God has it settled. He has it written down for us. It's not far. We all have access to the Word of God. And not only to the Word of God and to the law of God, but His life. Because today, in the New Testament age, it's not just a book of rules like the Old Testament had, but it is saying, God, I'm establishing my life, the foundation of my life. I am just establishing it in the simplicity of the choice to serve you, to choose life. And in choosing that foundation, God opens up a whole path of light and life that we never knew. We didn't see before, but we can't see it until we accept it. So here in Deuteronomy 30 and 15, So he said, I set... Well, okay, we were at 11. So in 12, he says, it's not in heaven that you should say who should go up for us to heaven and bring it, or beyond the sea. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know, we were created to serve the Lord. It is in every one of us to serve God. The plan of salvation was made for all men. It was made for everyone, but we have to choose it. It's in our heart to want to worship something, to want to serve something, and we want to feel a purpose in this life. But we can't start on that purpose until we have this foundation settled. So he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And I command thee this way to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Amen. And so then he pronounces a judgment. If you turn your heart away and you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And then he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And he goes on to describe a little bit more about loving God. But is it really that simple to choose between life and death? That's what God said. He said, I call heaven and earth. This is like the most important thing God is trying to get across to his people, is just the foundational choice. I choose life and death. That seems like a pretty broad decision there, wide decision as far as the results go. You choose life or death. Sometimes we want to figure everything out before we make this choice, and we will never get there. We must choose one way or the other, and then the Lord will reveal himself to us. It's hard for us in our minds to do that. We always like to try to be in control and understand everything and understand every facet. But, you know, if we don't have the foundation right, we will never get to where God wants us to be and fruitful in our lives. So I want to read a few examples of this in 1 Kings 18 and 21. Is the first one, and Elijah is speaking to the people. And just to provide a little background here, this is when the people were following after the gods of this world, and the king and queen Ahab and Jezebel were leading the charge in running away from God. And Elijah is trying to bring them back, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years because God was trying to get their attention. And so they finally caught back up with Elijah. And 18:21. And so I don't want to read the whole story, but I just want to read this one verse. And Elijah came to the people. So he sent Ahab to gather all the people, all of Israel. Everybody came to this mountain. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So they weren't decided. They really just wanted the joys of this flesh and this life and to serve their idols, but they also wanted the blessings of God. They were halting between two opinions here. And does the devil just stop working until we make our decision? No, he never stops. Just like Sister Kim said, The person off the street that comes into church, the Lord wants to save them today. We don't have to wait a long time to make this decision to serve the Lord. We can make it today. And just because we're halting on our decision doesn't mean the devil is stopping and destroying our life or those around us or the things that we could be affecting if we gave our life to the Lord today. And so Elijah is saying, how long will you halt? Your country is coming to ruin, and your crops are dying, your animals are dying. And not only that, you had unrest and no peace in your land before all this happened. And yet you still aren't deciding. He said, how long will you halt? Another place, in Acts 24 and 24. Felix, Paul was testifying to Felix, and Felix trembled, 24 and 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. So Paul was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And he sent for Paul out of prison to come testify before him, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. So he told him the things of this life, the words that he needed to know. And Felix answered and said, go thy way for this time. For when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So the Israelites halted. Felix trembled. But they still didn't make the decision. And Felix said, go away, I'll call you in another convenient season. Well, do you know the devil kept working in Felix's life? Felix could have had a major turnaround here to where it would have affected history even. But Felix wanted a better time. Another quick example of this, just a couple chapters over in Acts, was Agrippa. So Paul again was in prison. And Agrippa called him before him, and Paul was speaking to him the words of this life, and he said in the 27th verse of the 26th chapter of Acts, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So we have people halting, we have people trembling, we have people saying almost, but none of that gets us there, does it? It doesn't change our life and change the direction. We can never have confidence when we say almost. We can never be able to fully give ourselves to anything if we're just almost there. Let's just go almost play basketball. Let's go out there and almost do it. We'll never be successful, will we? But the Lord wants us to say, instead of almost, I'm fully persuaded. My confidence is in you, God. I don't understand all of your laws right now. Some of them seem harsh. Some of them are very different from what the world is saying right now. But I'm going to commit those things that I don't understand to you. I'm going to make the foundation of my life, the choice of my life, saying, God, I will serve you. I will make that one right. And then we'll have confidence in the things that he gives us to understand. Second Peter 1. Second Peter 1 and 10. He says, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So we were reading about the negative side of this, of not making the decision. But here Peter says, rather, brethren, rather than all of this, give diligence. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you do these things, you will never fall. We see so much confusion in the world. There's another scripture that talks about evil men being deceived and being deceived. We cannot get our information from this world. We can't get our calling, our purpose from this world. But let's give diligent to make our calling and election sure, the very fundamental thing of God saving our souls. We need to get that one right. It's a simple, simple choice, but it is truly a choice between life and death. So he says, So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though I know you know them, and be established in the present truth. So we might know these things, but it doesn't hurt us at all to remind ourselves that the noise of the world is simply noise. We must let ourselves be established in the Word of God and let all of our opinions and our purpose be established in Him today. So in let's go ahead and read 2 Timothy 3 and 13. Second Timothy 3 and 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is really popular opinion today, is we're just one blind mouse following the next, right? When we're depending on our own opinions. But it says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, confident of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So the Holy Scriptures is where it's at, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. We don't need anything else but the Word of God today to know. Knowledge is something that's very wonderful. It's wonderful for us to be able to experience, but it does not compete with the Word of God. It doesn't give us the true purpose for our life, because once we get the foundation settled and have confidence in this choice, then the Lord starts working with our lives and speaking to us. Do we really believe the Lord can speak to us? Yes, He can. And He has a purpose for every one of us. Every one of us matter today, as was mentioned today. The Lord has died for each one of us individually. We've heard a lot about faith recently, and I know the Lord had a purpose in it. It seems like all we've had so many messages and Bible studies about faith but it is foundational, isn't it? And I think the Lord is trying to get across to some of us that we're too busy in our minds trying to figure everything out, and we just need to surrender. There's a peace in surrendering to God and just saying, "God, I'm tired of just trying to figure it all out. I'm jumping out in this off this cliff of faith, and I know He's got ground there to catch us." My grandpa, God was calling him into the mission field, and he had four children, and he didn't have any way of supporting them. And he wasn't sure how it was all going to work, but God gave him a dream. And in the dream, he was standing on a cliff, and God told him to jump. And so he jumped. And the moment he jumped, he landed in the hand of God in his dream. That's how it is today. We don't have to know everything, but we have to say, "God, I want to jump. I want to just jump out in faith." There are so many people, there might be people in our lives telling us things very opposite from what the Word of God is saying. And if we let ourselves be distracted by those things, we will be confused. Amen. And then in that halting, the devil takes our ability to truly make a difference in the world and to truly have that clear communication from God on what He wants us to do. So, our Daniel learned a lot of things from God. Before we go to Daniel, Deuteronomy 29:29, God, I guess Moses was writing this, but it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." There are many things that we will never understand about this life, and we have to be okay with accepting that. But the secret things belong to God. He knows so much infinitely more than we will ever begin to scratch the surface of. And yet man thinks we're so wise and so smart. But it says, but those things that are revealed belong to us. We can get a hold of them. They are ours. They're our promises. We have confidence in them. And we get a hold of them. We give them to our children. And they are enough to be able to live this life successfully, to never fall. It says to do all the words of the law. God has given us enough to be able to live this life with peace and confidence and assurance, saying, God, I've finished my course. I've ran the race. I have done what you've called me to do. And so we don't have to know everything. There's secret things with God, and those are His. God revealed a lot of things to Daniel. And in Daniel 12, God gave him a little opening into some of the things that would happen in the last days. And Daniel wanted to know more. And God said, go your way, Daniel. Let's just turn over there and read that. It's Daniel 12, 4, 8, and 9. So he said, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I think we're there, aren't we? We run to and fro. We go places that took years to get to before, and just in a matter of a day or two, the knowledge shall be increased. It is so exponentially increased today. And then in the eighth verse, he said, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So what else is going to happen? What's next? That's human tendency. We want to know. We want to understand all these things. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He said, go your way, Daniel. I've given you enough. I've given you what I want you to know. And we just commit the rest to the Lord. Do we have things that we're struggling with today, that maybe we're confused about today? Maybe there's some things that are just not settled in our minds. I hope there are, because we think and that we have questions. But in all of our questioning, in our seeking, let's remember to keep this choice committed. This is the foundation I'm starting from. And if I don't have the foundation right, how could I ever build my house? But when we have the foundation right and say, God, in this complicated world, I'm going back to the simple choice to serve you today. And every day I wake up, I'm going back to the simple choice. Today, I will live for you. I will follow all the principles that you have enlightened to my mind today. I will follow your peace. I will love where it doesn't seem like there are ways to love. When I don't have the answers, I will not rise up in pride and try to destroy another person because I don't know. I will humbly say, I don't know, and I will seek your face. I will tell others I don't know, but I will seek God about it. When we have this attitude of foundationally starting our day like this, we will never fall. We will be able to face the world with confidence. And so there are many questions that are raised today. But many of those questions can be put to rest by just saying, I have faith in God, that His Word is what's best for my life. I have faith that the Lord's principles are king in my life. And it doesn't matter what the world is saying. It doesn't matter all the choices that are here, the choices that children have to make today. I go back to that. You know, it's just the choice of children, maybe having to choose where they're living with their mother or their father. That shouldn't be a choice a child has to make. Yet, how much instability does that put in a child when they have to make those kind of choices? But what are the principles of God? The principles of God is that a man and a wife are married and living in the fear of God, and they're raising their children that way. That is the foundation, fundamental principle established in the Word of God, is a family where a man and his wife love each other and they raise healthy, happy, confident children. But when you tear that home apart and children have to choose to live with their dad or their mom, these are choices that hurt children deeply. But it's because that fundamentally we're going away from what the principles of the Word of God say. That's just one little example there. But there are many examples, if you think about it, of because of what we've accepted in the world today, providing so much confusion to children. And the Lord wants us to establish our lives, to establish our family, to bring our children up in the fear of God, where they have safety. It is very confident to say, here's the law. Here's the book we follow. Yes. Now, sure, we have questions about the Bible. We have things we don't understand. But those are part of seeking God. Amen. But when we have a base to build our life on, we can build so much more confidently and faster and have more purpose in this life. When we have no base, when the children grow up not knowing what is right or wrong or not knowing some of these fundamental things, it creates a culture where there's confusion and every evil work. But let's settle it in our hearts to know the Lord today, just to follow the simple choice to choose life over death. It is really that simple today. And like Sister Kim said, today is the day of salvation. We don't have to wait a long time. We don't have to wait till all this is settled out in our minds. It'll never be so. We'll just be more confused. And so the thrust of the message, what God has put in my heart, is that today is the day of salvation. It's a simple choice between life and death. We want to serve the Lord today. We want to be purposeful in our lives and at the end of our life to have purpose. And there's no other way but to put our confidence in the Word of God and to firmly plant our feet there, to build our house, our spiritual house, on it. I'm a home builder, so I build things. We can never plan the layout of the kitchen if we never have a foundation or a plan to start with. We're remodeling this house over here. We could spend hours talking about paint colors and where we want things and all these things, but we never have a house to start with. Where are we gonna start? It's with the foundation, and that foundation is the Word of God. And so, no matter what the world is saying, the Word of God is our rule of faith. It is our law, and let's base our lives on the Bible today. And it's not my opinion. It's not Brother Darrell's opinion. It's the Word of God. So you be encouraged to follow the Lord completely today. And I know the Lord will give us much confidence. And that's where we have our praise and thanksgiving, is when we fully give our lives to the Lord and see Him work in our lives how He wants to work. Amen. You pray for me.